Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway,
a guest guided tour through the junk drawer of John's brain. I'm Besha.
I'm John, and welcome to the madness. How have you been, Besha?
Well, I started taking a hip-hop dance class.
Ooh.
The astonishing thing about this hip-hop dance class is that I am not the least fit or coordinated person in the room, which is important.
Is the idea to learn moves or to get in shape or both?
To learn moves and to, you know, have a stock of, like, two or three possible moves that I can whip out at nice. The next wedding I go to.
That is kind of a fantastic idea.
I'm not going to get in shape doing this once a week, although I will spend the rest of the week creaking around complaining about how my hip hurts.
Outstanding. That sounds kind of great. What kind of music is playing? I mean, are we talking 90s hip-hop or like current or...
Current kind of... beepy hip-hop.
Ah, interesting.
It's not a genre I know much about, so...
That's fair.
Hard to identify.
I feel like for some reason I've been encountering a lot of 90s hip-hop in my life lately.
It's been a thing lately. I've been to the 90s dance night at Cat Club. It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of Salt and Pepper.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
How have you been, John?
I discovered a thing, which is that I apparently have a particular look to me. I was at a party thrown at a bar by, you know, a bunch of friends of mine were there, and one of them happens to work there, and you know, she's like hanging out with one of her like fellow bartenders who's there, and he's like, he's a vet, he's kind of a big dude, that sort of protective kind of guy who will like walk a woman home to her car mm-hmm. when, you know, when their shifts are done together, mm-hmm. right? So he, you know, like, the party's been going for a while, and so he kind of, like, the two of them are in the back, and he is like, hey, is Mr. Sung one of your guests, one of the people that you know? And she's like, yeah, he's a friend of mine. He's like, is he cool? What's his deal? And she's like, he's great. He's awesome. What,
you should totally hang out. Why?
Yeah. And he just looked at her, and he just goes... He looks like a supervillain.
That would be the goatee.
is that what that, yeah?
It's so, sorry to cut. The thing I was just thinking, before we get, like, the kind of look, that goatee, it makes you look like, the presenter of the American version of if Garth Marenghi had really existed, and then, like most British TV creations, had been sold to America, then the presenter of the American... You would be there. You would be wearing a black suit with a black polo neck. And you would have... I think the hair would be kind of swept back more.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Oh, my.
Slicked back.
Yeah.
What really? Would the... So whenever I go swimming, and by the way, I'd like to insert, first of all, that this is not... I like to think of it as not a goatee, since it does...
It's more of
a biker beard.
Yes.
But you are right. But here's the question, though, which is, what would the American name... What would the name of the American version of Dark Place be? Do we know? I'm not really sure.
When I think of American horror writers, you know, with sticking names, it's always... You know, there's always that thing where... Garth Marenghi has the wrong kind of name mm-hmm. for a horror writer, because the first name needs to be twice as long as the second name, so that when you do the letters in big type on the book cover, the last name is huge.
It is huge.
Right, so Stephen King, perfect, right?
Right.
King, huge letters. But also you have somebody like Dean Koontz, right? Mm-hmm. Who I think he doesn't have that advantage, but he does have an utterly bizarre and thus quite memorable name.
It's true.
Yeah.
And so you need something like a first name that is something, you know, distinguished and strange, a very kind of Cornelius kind of thing.
Johnny
Elias. Yeah, bizarre, you know, just sounding just contrived enough.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then the last name is going to be some kind of onomatopoeic expletive.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are hearing the voice of our guest for this week, our good friend Yaz.
Hello there.
Hey, Yaz.
Hi. Oh, how are you,
I'm
Yaz?
So happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you on here. I ran into Yaz at a birthday party some months ago, like many months ago, and I told him about the idea for this podcast, and I was like, please, will you be on it? Because I think he would be wonderful.
I'm so honored.
And I'm yes!
also
yes!
so sorry. There will be a refund afterwards.
Well, you know what? We're going to find out.
I use my debit card.
I'm going to admit right now that I don't think that it will be necessary. Is it time? I think it might be time to begin.
I think it may be time.
All
yes.
right. Well, let's dive in. So, for those of you who are new to this podcast, the idea behind it is that I make too many ideas in my head, and it's time to just sort of get them out there into the world with the help of my excellent friends. So, I have opened up the vault of my ideas to, in this case, Yaz, who will sort of page through it, and we'll just talk about any of the ones that catch his eye. And who knows, if it's an idea that appeals to you, maybe you can do it.
Just give us credit.
Yes. And a cut.
Or we'll hunt you down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing, which is that before we go into the spreadsheet, I did have an idea that I can't find it in there, but I know that it must be in there, that I wanted to run by you specifically, because I feel like you have some experience with this subject matter as a person who does the work that you do.
Thank you. What kind of work do I do?
You're still working for 18F, right?
Yes, that's right.
Excellent. Okay. How would you describe 18F to those who did not know what it was?
The way I normally describe it is we're trying to make government websites not shit.
Yes.
And in practice, it's actually more complicated. Well, obviously more complicated because it's government. But this is, it's the federal, so when I say government, it's your government rather than mine. We have people to do that back at our place. Back in London, we're working on that. You're the people who really need help, to be honest. It is so refreshing to actually mean that for a change. This is one of the few times in history that Americans have actually looked to Britain as a good example of anything.
Web developers by appointment to Her Majesty?
Exactly. Yes, basically.
Of course you do.
Basically, you know, where we are exactly Her Majesty's, you know, one arm of
stamp of approval.
Stamp of approval, just like breakfast cereals on the side. The mm-hmm. We have a meta tag.
And, excellent.
but what we're trying to teach American government how to do agile and user centered design and proper user research and things like that, rather than doing it all ourselves, because that would just be huge and insane.
Indeed.
And
indeed.
Without contracting it out at
if we didn't contract
times
it out.
The price. Yes.
Well, so we're trying to, there's still lots of contracting out, but we're trying to teach people how to do it in a more sane and cheap and efficient manner.
Okay. Excellent.
That's what we're doing.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, not that this is going to need specifying, but all opinions in this podcast are the opinions of ourselves and not our employers.
Absolutely. This in particular, anything that I happen to say, this is one of the bizarre things, is I am not allowed to tweet or Facebook anything partisan during office hours.
Fascinating.
During office hours.
Yes. Oh. As in terms of, if I am in the working time, in the employ of the federal government, then it is a violation of the Hatch Act.
Huh.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I work for a 501c3 nonprofit, and we're not allowed to endorse a candidate.
Right.
Though we can endorse a policy or a particular bill.
We can do that.
We are not allowed to
say
vote for anybody.
Right. Exactly. Same here. Not after hours, and I believe I am now after hours, and I'm allowed to as long as I don't fundraise.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
It's kind of odd. But carry on. Sorry. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, so the first idea that I would like to bring up for your consideration is a thing that I think I called it, and it's not on the spreadsheet as this, so I don't know what it's called in the spreadsheet, but the idea of a person score, which is something where there's a system that just keeps track of of like your activity on the internet, basically, or indeed in real life, and makes and adjusts the price of all consumer goods upwards or downwards. So, for instance, if you're a racist tween who likes to call people faggot on Xbox Live, a Coke costs you $50.
Right.
But somebody like me, a Coke is nearly goddamn free.
Absolutely. Well, they'd be giving them to you. They'd be paying you to take them.
Where do you rate the tweens who tweet daddy at politicians?
Oh, my God.
This is one of my favorite phenomena on Twitter.
Daddy?
It's just daddy. Sometimes fuck me daddy, but often just
daddy.
Daddy.
Oh, no.
That's
oh,
no.
At politicians, TV presenters.
Just
at random.
When you go to these tweens' Twitter accounts, is it literally just a list of random username, daddy, random username, daddy, random. Mm-hmm.
Those have to be bots. That's got to be a bot.
Enough of them are interleaved with other content to clearly not be bots.
That's incredible.
Anyway, so for them, a Coke is like $20, would you say?
Yeah, I would say. If you're a men's rights activist or a GamerGator, I think a Coke costs you $150.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, like...
And you can only buy them on, I don't know, military bases or something. So,
yes, exactly.
As inconvenient
exactly.
as possible.
I mean, here's my question, though. How would you implement such a thing?
How do you... That's...
Oh, yes. So, I see why you saved this for Yaz.
Right. You see. The super... So this is... Because clearly you've got... let's think of the lo-fi implications.
Okay, sure. Certainly.
So the going around, presumably there is something monitoring my behavior. So it's just the internet. So it's just your behavior on the internet.
Essentially, right? But also, you know, stuff like, if you get banned from games on Xbox Live, it might take into account things like if you've bought a fedora recently.
Right.
Or like, if you own like unnecessary tactical anything.
Right.
Like
anyone who owns a katana, frankly.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. It watches the books that you buy or I realize that this is like a scary panopticon kind of situation.
Obviously, it doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if I'm the one in charge of it.
Right.
So. But how would you go about implementing such a thing?
You need some kind of... Well, okay, so let's start with the... As you do when thinking about giant internet systems. First of all, let's go the traditional centralized route.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have one central clearinghouse that acts as, you know, the central point where all activity gets logged to, mm-hmm. and it somehow performs its own secret judgment
mm-hmm.
on what things are good and what things are bad,
mm-hmm.
and tallies up your score.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever you go to, Amazon or wherever, and the prices it shows you, presumably it... Amazon has contacts this particular clearinghouse and says, we happen to know this particular person, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that this person is an asshole. And so you must charge him the earth for whatever. That's the giant centralized way of doing it, which, mm-hmm. you know, and the thing is that, you know, we like to think about the internet as not being centralized in these kind of way, but these days it completely is. I mean, in mm-hmm. terms of having said Google and mm-hmm. Facebook and all these giant hubs. Mm-hmm. But where it gets more interesting, possibly,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that sounds kind of nightmarish, but already we've got loads of that kind of stuff. You know that thing where you go and look at stuff on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
and then you hop over to Facebook, and suddenly Facebook is advertising exactly.
Yes.
Right. So,
yes.
So the beacon says you're an asshole.
Right.
Is what we're going for here.
Right. Asshole beacon. Exact.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. And so these kinds of things. And in fact, the good thing is that that it can live in your browser anyway. So unwittingly, you are carrying your rating along for you in the site to do it. Perfect. It's a kind of parasitic Wuffy kind of thing. I mean, obviously, the Wuffy was the first thing that kept the Cory Doctorow down at the Magic Kingdom idea. That's the centralised thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing... But
mm-hmm.
what if you go decentralised? What if there are multiple arsehole currencies?
Okay. Oh.
Right? And some different clearinghouses that say, well, actually, we think fedoras are lovely. We think the world really needs more katanas living in people's bedrooms in Idaho. And we frankly want to subsidize this effectively. We are we've become a subsidizing to make sure this happens, and therefore, you know, and then you've got these different
warring systems.
It's almost as if like you have multiple philosophies in the world, and they have multiple value systems, and but you know, I realize
I hate that idea.
Yeah, me too.
I would not. Yeah,
let's just put John in charge of it.
Yeah,
that would be.
You're right. It completely negates the whole point of the thing.
I'd like to apologize to my brother in his bedroom with the katana in Idaho.
But, like.
But not really.
Are there any other issues that we need to think about? Like, I mean, would it be able to? Would such a system theoretically be able to track my, you know, purchases of books? Things that were like, you know, as long as I did it with a credit card, right? I mean, like anything that's buy for cash.
Presumably, So here's one of the things you've got to think about: is how do you incentivize the various e-commerce sites to take part in this? Because presumably there is a bi-directional transaction.
Indeed,
they need to feed all their purchase data into our, you know, central place, and then we act as a discounting or you know, up so whatever place. So it's a symbiotic relationship. So what is in it? What is the value exchange?
I think that in my system, like in the perfect world that I've created with this system in my mind, it's mandatory. So all these purchasing systems, they have to do it, A, but B, I don't think they mind, because the hideous markup that we're going to charge to all the assholes means that they get a huge cut of it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Right? They get a huge cut. The government gets a huge cut. We could fund going to space on the backs of assholes alone.
Yes.
Is what I'm saying.
Or single-payer healthcare.
Yes, exactly.
Universal price.
If you're the
universal
kind of person,
pre-K education.
Yes, if you're the
or
kind
space.
Of dim... exactly, yes. Yeah. No,
we could send single payers to space.
Quite honestly, yes. If you were the kind of dickhole who thinks that Obamacare was a terrible idea, you're going to end up funding it. Just because, you know, we're going to charge you like $18 for, you know...
you can't cook.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. I mean, it is
a tax
amazing.
On assholes.
That would be fantastic. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
It's kind of, and certainly, you know, the things. I'm glad you're in charge of this, frankly. Really.
That's the part where the system breaks down. If somebody else, other than me, is in charge of the system, then it all goes to shit. Unless it's one of you, like, you know what I mean? Like, me or any of the people that I know and trust, of which I have to say there are a lot.
You're very good at finding good people.
Yeah, but so we would just have to ensure that, you know, control of the system is handed down in a semi-hereditary manner.
Right. Exactly. And I think basically if we create a separate, I think this is an excellent time to kind of stream society into kind of warrior caste and priest caste, you know. This is clearly, you know, the keepers of the exchange
rate. The Griots and the
I like it.
And the noble dynasty you're founding.
Yes, exactly. So that was the idea that I definitely knew I wanted to run by Yaz. Is there something in the spreadsheet that you would now like to discuss?
Oh, plenty of things in the spreadsheet. Oh, Let me just take a look here at this spreadsheet.
Yaz was chortling to himself over the spreadsheet.
I was having so much fun looking through this thing. So let's start with a brief one, just because occasionally I saw things that's like, I have no idea what that word means. What is Chocha-Chocon Ignite Talks? I know what Ignite Talks are. I know they're the 5 or 5 minute quick talks.
Chocha-Chocon?
Okay. This is actually going to take a fair bit of explanation. In that, were either of you readers of a webcomic called Akewood back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay, right. So, Ray Smuckles, a character in that comic, likes to refer to his friends as Chochachos.
Hey, Chochachos.
So, there is, as it turns out, a Facebook group that revolves... It started out as an Akewood fan group, right? And there are actually a few thousand people in this group.
Wow.
For some reason, a few years ago, it started to become very active. And I happened to be in it at the time and noticed, like, I don't know, like, everybody just started talking to each other. There was
a sudden uptick in Akewood.
There was nothing. I don't understand. I still don't know why.
Right.
But so here's the thing, is that at some point, the idea was brought up, like, hey, we should get together. Like, let's hang out, you know, like us, like all the active people.
Yeah.
So it turned out, so we did it in Chicago The first year, this was a couple of years ago, and maybe like 60 people showed up. I mean, like, you know, because out of a group of a few thousand, there's like a couple hundred who are active, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like 60 odd people actually showed up. It was great. It was almost like the earlier days of the internet, like when people had web forums and we would gather on those. It was almost exactly like that. It was great. And so the con, as it were, was really just a big party, right?
Mm-hmm.
Open bar, just kind of like, but there was a space at the party that had a stage and a microphone. And what people were doing was just sort of getting up and telling stories in the time while we were all having drinks and stuff before the karaoke began.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was, like, maybe, you know, like, we should get together some year and, like, instead of just kind of like having free-form stories, because those could take a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You do Ignite talks. Which, for the uninitiated, an Ignite talk is... Ignite is a specific format for speaking, in which the person gets up on stage and their slides auto-advance every 15 seconds. Mm. And the talk lasts 5 minutes, and that's it. It's kind of great. And I thought, like, well, maybe, you know, we should, like, do that the next time we all get together. Because it would be a nice format, and then, you know, we don't have to worry that someone is going to last too long.
Mm.
So
I wonder... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I wonder if I can pitch this as a concept for meetings at work.
Yeah.
Your slides will auto-advance.
Yes.
I personally will be very traumatized by this, because every time I do a 10-minute odd salon talk, it turns into 15 to 20.
Oh.
They're flashing a light at me, and I...
But I bet you're... I think I've... Did I see you give one once, or was it Kelly?
Either. It could be either. We're often confused. I'm not even joking.
No, that's fair. You're both great. And I don't remember whose talk I saw, but it was awesome. There was one guy, though, that one night that I did go, who went very long,
mm-hmm.
when he really should not have.
Mm-hmm.
I read an article somewhere on the internet about like, all meetings should have shot clocks, where, like, somebody just has a timer. And, you know, like, before the meeting begins, you run down the agenda, you assign a time value to each thing on the agenda, and somebody just ruthlessly keeps time. And I was like, that sounds like a really excellent idea. I've never had to do it, because I don't really have a lot of meetings these days as a freelance.
You
want
to go to some mine? You want to just come to mine and sit in the back and hold up time cards and then be like, done!
I would love to do that.
That is actually, I mean, that's an interesting sideline, isn't it? Kind of meeting referee.
I've taken some facilitation courses, and they often recommend something like you pick one coworker to be the timekeeper and one person take notes.
Mm-hmm.
But you could... I would at least buy you a beer for every 1 hour meeting.
As the person who literally has no stake in any of this,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I could be relied upon to keep time in a neutral fashion.
Absolutely,
yeah. That's a brilliant idea.
It is.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
There's a lot to like here about the Chochacho Con. I mean, it's lovely to hear, especially because, you know, I'm used to online communities that used to do a lot of work related to Douglas Adams. I worked for his company, Digital Village, involved in various online communities. And one of the things that I always thought and noticed about this, that whenever we opened an online community, any kind of website, we would get flooded with people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing about Hitchhikers and Douglas's work is it comes across as very niche, when in fact it's very universal. So, and the problem with that is that everybody thinks that they're going to meet their kind of people in the community, but there is no their kind of people. And so what you get is a whole load of people who suddenly come together and they're not completely different, or, you know. And so, and sometimes, you know, you'd have interesting communities, and sometimes it would work out really well, such as when the one that turned into a bizarre role-playing game because it was buried 6 levels deep, the Starship Titanic forums.
That's
a story for another time. But okay, sometimes it would also go horribly off the rails.
As people discovered that the only thing they had in common was one series of books by one British author.
Exactly.
And it turns out that's not a basis for a meaningful
human
connection, necessarily.
Well, yes. It can, and it depends on how well disposed. I mean, ultimately, you know, it doesn't really matter what the people have in common. It more depends on how well disposed people are to meeting other people.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, true. True. If you think you're like the only special snowflake who gets Douglas Adams' work, and then.
Yeah.
And there's assholes in literally every fandom.
It's true.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Which is why I try not to be part of any or ever talk to people. Never talk to anyone.
Saves a lot of disappointment.
Yeah, it really does.
So that's the Church Archer. That's wonderful. The and yes, it's very inspiring. Are they still going? It's Church Archer.
Yes.
Excellent.
The thing is that the group keeps gathering people, and the thing about the Ikwid group is that it's actually split spawned like a galaxy of subgroups. There's a subgroup just for talking about media. There's a subgroup just for posting pictures of your cats. The cat group is apparently quite active. I'm not in it because I don't own a cat, and I'm not, you know.
Who cares about cats?
Exactly. I'm just not a cat.
Please don't come after me, internet.
But yeah, there are tons of subgroups, and it is. If I were to stay on top of the activity in the subgroups that I'm in, it would be a full time job.
Mm-hmm. But there's an interesting, fascinating phenomenon there that you're talking about, which is one of the things I see where online forums have been, and you know, it's online forums that have been going for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and especially the ones that have the kind of classic PHPBB or the other forum systems where it's multiple channels,
mm-hmm.
and you go in there after 5 years, mm-hmm. and they always have a forum called general discussion,
mm-hmm.
and then a separate forum that is for discussing the thing that the forum is actually meant to be about.
Yes.
Right? Because it turns out that most of these people have been together for more than a couple of years. They want to just chat about anything because they're their peeps.
Yes. It's true.
Meta filter meta.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which I stay off of because I don't have enough time.
Right.
In the world.
It would... Exactly. And so I'm wondering if there's a name for this phenomenon, this kind of thing where it's like, hey, I've got people now.
I don't know. This is the thing where I wish that I had been a sociologist. Because I would bet you I hope somebody out there is writing a paper.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's got to be so much to mine. And just, just all new facets of human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Or new ways for old patterns of human behavior to express themselves.
Did you see the article about this is the best kind of writing on the internet?
Yes.
And it was repurposing channels for something entirely different.
Yes.
For example, Craigslist for sale, selling your blender, telling the story about the asshole investment banker that you dated.
Right.
And how he sent you the blender the day after you broke up so that he could tell people he gave you a blender and mm-hmm. you broke up. I guess it was is a Vitamix a blender? I don't
yes.
know.
Yes.
I think it's technically a blender.
I think I saw that story and it was, yeah.
And Amazon reviews. And
yes,
right.
Exactly.
The amazing... people want to express.
Weird how that works.
Yes. And then there's... So, yes, that was the Sylvia Killingsworth, I think. Was it Sylvia Killingsworth? I think so.
She's
a fabulous piece. And that was... So, but also there was the stuff... So, John, when you and I... We worked together at Linden Lab, the people who did Second Life. And one of the things that was always fascinating about not just Second Life, but many out of these kind of avatar spaces, was the ways in which people would subconsciously, unknowingly, replicate real-life behaviour. So... One of the classics here is to do... So you're, in Second Life, as in many of these games or systems, you're controlling a effectively human avatar mm-hmm. most of the time, or a person avatar, and talking to other ones and going up to talk to them. And then there was that... some sociologist realised that the personal distance, the cultural personal distance training was coming into play in the distance at which two people stood from each other, right? And this was manifesting in the virtual world as well. And this was particularly coming up with notices that the Germans would keep going right up to people. Right? They would go right up to people.
Hello.
And then these people being somewhat taken back would then step backwards. And then the Germans would step forward some more. And so eventually you would have these people conversing who would be eventually reversing kind of across the virtual space. Right?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's...
I certainly have replicated my own physical behavior in things like World of Warcraft. I would usually be off hunting things by myself as much as possible so I didn't have to talk to anybody, which is my own cultural training.
And riding a giant mount with your axe. And,
yeah.
As you'd normally
alone.
Do along the mission.
Alone.
Right, yeah.
It's the important part of that.
Yeah. Do.
Well...
Is it time for terrible recommendations?
I think that it may be time for terrible recommendations. Besha, do you happen to have a terrible recommendation? Because I do, but I don't want to step on anybody's toes.
Yas, do you have a terrible recommendation?
So the thing that obviously comes to mind that for me, and this is something that's come up in multiple conversations with people living in San Francisco. Do you know about the International Art Museum of America?
No.
I've seen it. It's on Market Street, right?
It is on Market Street. It's, as you can imagine by the name, International Art Museum of America. It is a
Idiosyncratic.
It is owned by a chap by the name of H.H. Dorje Chang Buddha III. That is actually his name.
Okay, okay.
It contains his art collection.
Okay.
At least parts of it.
Uh-huh.
It is free to go in, and you go... I have not... So here's one thing I should confess right from the start. I've not been in here, but I've heard about it from multiple people, and I am still waiting for the opportunity in the spare, given that it's all of two blocks from where I work. Frankly, now you get the kind of measure of a man I am in terms of talking about things
and
doing them. But it is full of, like, bizarre woodcuts and weird off kinds of art, and apparently some art that's possibly quite good. And then the front section has plants and a rockery and water and... you know, but generally it's mostly abandoned. And then there is a secret room in the back that costs $600 to go in.
It's freemium.
It's freemium, exactly. Most of it is free, but yes, it is the free. The I think they're going for the art whale.
The in-app purchase.
Right. Yes.
What is in the $600 room?
Now, if I remember rightly, I can't remember exactly. I mean, tempted to look it up, but it's more fun if we just pontificate. It's, well, no, if only. Because it would have to be some really goddamn good porn. Or that's where you find out what H.H. Dorje Chang Buddha, you know, is into. Is he's into really bad 70s Italian kind of. But apparently it is an artwork made out of fog. So that's what it kind of, that's what vaguely what I remember about it. I need to kind of, you know, maybe by the time we return for the next episode, I can have looked it up by then, because I don't really don't want to, I'd rather pontificate.
Yeah, I think we should preserve the mystery.
I don't know if that's even a terrible recommendation. That's a fascinating recommendation.
Yeah, no, but that's still, that's amazing. Yas, well done.
Oh, thank you for
Well, I believe that does it for this episode of Idea Factory Giveaway.
Please remember, if you use any of our ideas, give us a cut.
And some credit. Oh, but first, wait, before we go...
Plugs!
Let's tell everybody where to find everybody. I can be found on Twitter. I'm just at FerociousJ. The word ferocious, the letter J. Easy enough.
I'm found on Twitter at Besha, B-E-S-H-A.
Oh, lovely.
Which I've been sitting on since 2008.
Amazing.
By the way.
That's fabulous.
I got a lot of tweets from Argentinian tweens.
Why is that?
It's apparently how you pronounce Bella.
Huh.
Wow. Okay.
It's confusing.
Okay.
I know. Anyway, sorry.
That's fine. I'm now... a whole other world of Argentinian tween has opened up to me. And you can find me on Twitter at Yoz, Y-O-Z, or Z, depending on your personal inclination.
Excellent. Thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you some other time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Yoz.
Thank you.